Welcome to the world of the art on the Amsterdam. Now, don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of, well, close attention. Why, you don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures on board. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Amsterdam today and show you some of the art commissioned exclusively for the Amsterdam by Holland America Line. Let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Café. Have a seat and get comfortable in one of those great chairs or couches while we explain a little about the tour.
First, a little background. Now, art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea, and it's worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as some contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of each of Holland America's ships. Everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Think of this cruise as a visit to a great estate that happens to have some wonderful works of art, and where you're made to feel welcome, pampered, and where you can enjoy some new adventures, whether a great shore excursion or the appreciation of some new piece of art. Now, you might see a piece you really like, say, on your way to dinner or a show. Well, here, you can live with it on the cruise and really begin to appreciate it. It's not like a museum where you go look at it at once and then you have to leave. On this art tour, we'll give you an inside look at some of the important and interesting works on the ship, and we'll show you how important the art is to Holland America Line.
And the artworks are important to the guests, too. One of Holland America's captains, Jan Schmidt, shared this with us.
Almost on a daily basis, I get comments about how they enjoy the art on the ship and how these ships in Holland America Line are a lot different from ships in other companies just because of the art. So yes, definitely we're getting a lot of positive comments about them.
Now, before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. And feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour to give yourself some time to get to the location of the next artwork, or if you just like a little more time to admire something. Coming up, you'll be on Chapter 2. Chapter 2, Explorations Café, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Let's begin right here in the Explorations Café. In both the far corners are ship models by Wout Mueller. We visited him in his studio near Waterford in Ireland. He's an accomplished artist whose paintings have appeared on other Holland America ships, but we noticed these models in his studio. Frans Dingemans decided that they provided just the right sense of whimsy and put them here on the Amsterdam. Take a good look at them. I think you'll agree that you just can't help but feel a sense of fun in his art. And also the two fantasy interior collages of mixed media by Peter Gabrielsi in the Explorations Café are playful in their artsy way as well. Also notice the beautiful inlaid marble table, the signature piece of every Explorations Café in a Holland America ship. Look at the intricacy of the mosaic. Artisans in the town of Pietrasanta in Italy created this design by taking tiny bits of marble in hundreds of different shades and placing them in just the right combination to create this amazing table.
Pietrasanta means holy stone, It's a town in Tuscany, and it's where Michelangelo went to get his marble. You can see the marble quarries in the distance from the village there at the tops of the mountains. See, what looks like snow at the top is really white marble. Artists from all over the world still come to Pietrasanta to buy their marble and to work. You'll notice that the table looks as if it could have been made hundreds of years ago.
The table is the creation of Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger, a husband and wife couple who live and work near Pietrasanta in Italy.
Fortunately, by the demand of the VFD office and Mr. Dingemann, we had the chance to experiment a lot of different words of crafting and high end craft, and especially the marble was a passion we always had, and we have been entering it just through our experience of what was the church, for instance, in Siena or in the San Marco Basilic, where you have this unbelievable stone with incredible colors and precious materials, where the people, by walking on them, are just smoothing the surface and this. And so, with the Florentine way of doing mosaic and all of this, we have been getting into that, and we have worked to make these tables. We're very fond of them. We like them. We're quite proud of that collection, yeah.
If you've been to St. Mark's in Venice, you'll recognize what Le Bigre is talking about. The floor has a similar quality to this table. And while we are still in the cafe, take a look at the lithograph, the City Hall of Amsterdam. It gives you a dramatic sense of Amsterdam's remarkable architecture.
And don't miss one of my favorite pieces. It's a statue called Statue of a Little Girl. It's by an Italian artist named Marcelli, who worked around the turn of the 20th century. His signature is on the back of the sculpture, but not much is known about him. For me, captures the solitary rapture that only reading can bring. I can remember when I was a little girl, reading like The Wind in the Willows or the Black Stallion books. I read all of the Black Stallion books. And just being transported to another world. Well, I think Marcelli captures that kind of reverie that reading can bring. Now, right next to it on the wall is a hand-colored copper engraving of the City Hall of Amsterdam, currently known as the Palace on the Dam. This is what they call an optica print, and the engraving is dated 1760.
So, as you can see, we haven't even left the first room yet, and already you're filled with a sense of the richness of the art experience here aboard the Amsterdam. You know, Frans Dingemans told us that when he was first working on the Amsterdam, that rather than having a design theme for the ship, he felt it should just be filled with the best art and the finest design so that it would reflect the global nature of the Amsterdam's mission to sail the world. Now, let's move on and see what other works of art await us.
Chapter 3, Explorations Café, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck. Right outside and in front of the Explorations Café are two striking murals by Barbara Brookman. She's a textile artist who works near Amsterdam. When we visited her on a cold winter day, her studio was dominated by a huge cross-stitch fabric hanging, and it was ablaze with color. Below it, on a table, in front of large windows that let in the gray light from an overcast sky, she was working on these very murals. She was making a paper copy of what would be the mural and creating exact color matches with little clusters of colored yarn, which she put in place for the workers who would create the actual textile hangings in Spain.
In order to create these in the workshop, craftsmen place the colored yarns into the design with a type of gun and duplicate the design, which she then sends them on paper. I think these murals really capture the diversity of the world where the Amsterdam sails.
And just as a reminder, we're still in front of the Explorations Café, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Now, we'll head to the aft staircase, where we first see a still life of antique books by Louis Bloch. You know, he used pen and watercolors on paper to get the incredibly fine detail in the printing on the books. Now, we should be at the entrance to the LaFontaine dining room.
Chapter 4, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Sometime during your cruise, take a look at the art, both in the upper and lower levels of the dining room. In the stairways outside the dining room, you'll encounter a remarkable gilt-carved mirror. It's made up of two pieces of glass. It came from the Louis XV period in France, and that was during the 18th century. It's in very good shape for its age.
Yeah, but Paul, why is it in two pieces?
Well, that's a very good question. It turns out that the early glass blowers could only make flat glass by cutting open a bottle when it was still hot and soft, and then spreading it out. The size of the glass was determined by the size of the bottle. That's why really old mirrors are almost always in two pieces if they're large.
Now, when you're in the dining room, you'll see the paintings of Cornelis Lemaire. Lemaire paints these very dramatic still lifes that you'll see there. They are painted exactly in the style of the 17th century. One is entitled, for instance, A Traditional Still Life with Fruit Bowl and Jar. Well, Lemaire does these incredibly accurate still lifes just the way they were painted back then. Everything you see is accurate to the 17th century. The objects are from his personal collection of objects of the period. Rather takes you back in time.
And look up to see the very colorful glass ceiling in the dining room. It's the work of Leah Koster. I think it has a certain flair. Very nice work, and yet it seems so simple. Now head forward from the dining room on deck 5 on the starboard side to see a wonderful globe called World's Planispheres by Le Bigre and Roger. You'll notice that it has some great details. It's also made from a material the artists created for their work on the ships. It's called Echo Deco, but more about that later.
Chapter 5, Explorer's Lounge, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Now, if there are no activities going on in the King's and Queen's room, have a peek in. In the King's, there's a portrait of the Comte d'Evreux from France in the 17th century, as well as some wrought iron weapons from the age when, well, armor was popular. And in the Queen's room, there's an elaborate Danish mirror from the 19th century, as well as a very valuable 19th century copy of Adrian van de Venin's 1618 painting of the Princes of Orange at the Valkenburg Horse Fair.
You'll find as we take you around the ship, you should look up and down quite often, because some of the most interesting design features are in the ceilings and floors. That's especially true here, since as you continue forward on the starboard side of the upper promenade deck, we come to the Explorer's Lounge. You'll see an amazing inlaid marble dance floor with a large flower. Now, this is also a creation of the team of Le Bigre and Roger. But instead of using small bits of marble, like were used in the Pietrasanta table, well, here, Le Bigre and Roger relied on huge marble pieces to weave their design. The color is simply stunning.
And on the wall facing the Explorer's Lounge, well, we see a wonderful painting of the waterfront of 17th century Amsterdam. It shows the working life of those who earned their living by the sea. There are merchant ships, warships, fishing boats, just what you might have seen at the time if you were there. It's a monumental painting by Peter J. Starkenberg of the Netherlands. Although he usually works on canvas, for this work, he used oils and painted on an aluminum panel.
There's a lot we can learn from these maritime paintings. To find out why they're so important, we went to an expert, Fritz Lohmeyer. He's the executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam. It's widely considered one of the best in the world, and he's very familiar with art on board Holland America ships.
But from the view of a curator, a museum's curator, it is the historical context, really. People nowadays can enjoy it, and they can see if they really look, and that you have to learn, perhaps. What is the difference between real art quality or real ship models and remakes? Well, it is again a source of knowledge, and it gives you not only a picture but a feeling, and if you are really interested in understanding of what maritime life is. Paintings, drawings, etches are one of the main sources for historical research of 17th century earlier shipping, because we don't have so many written sources and we certainly don't have many ship models.
Chapter 6, Explorer's Lounge, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck. Now we'll continue forward along the corridor from the Explorer's Lounge on the starboard side of the Upper Promenade Deck. We'll come to a display case of 7 Ming Dynasty figures from 17th century China. While individual figures are often seen in collections, a whole set like this is quite rare.
And just across the corridor is a case containing a pair of guardian figures from the same period of the Ming Dynasty, and also a pair of doors which date from the 16th century.
Chapter 7, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
And don't miss a Chinese 19th century Blanc de Chine porcelain of the Taoist goddess Domu. Well, it's under a glass dome.
By now, we should have reached the Rembrandt Lounge on your right. So let's go in. Remember I said you should look up and down as you go? Well, looking down, here's yet another marvelous floor. And on the walls, here are some stunning oil paintings with a Grand Café theme. They're by American artist Michael Ryan. He works in the Netherlands with a very contemporary style, and some critics have said he forges a new style for the 21st century. I really think he captures the feeling of one of those great European cafes, you know, like maybe the kind you find in a train station in European cities.
Oh, that great one in Paris. Right across from the Rembrandt Lounge is the Amstel Café, which is a lovely place to have a drink with some friends. It has a great, calm atmosphere. It's modeled after some similar spaces which Dingemann showed us in Maastricht. Small bars where the focus is on the people rather than the setting. I think it's a very relaxing place.
Chapter 8, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck. Coming out of the Amstel Café, turn left into the sports bar. It's right by the casino. Now, this is art of a different sort. Here are 2 very interesting pieces for sports fans. First, on the left as you face the TV, is the signed baseball by legendary Yankees outfielder Joe DiMaggio. Notice the balls around it representing all the teams in Major League Baseball.
And speaking of legends, well, to the right of the television set, well, you see it's dedicated to hockey. And it has a puck signed by the great one, Wayne Gretzky. And likewise, pucks of the teams of the NHL surrounding it. And now, you sports fans, well, you may have missed them coming into the sports bar, but notice the 2 torchieres of walnut and fruit wood from the early 18th century. They create an entranceway to the area and have some beautiful detail and craftsmanship.
For our next chapter, we'll be heading into the atrium on Deck 5, the Upper Promenade Deck. You might pause your iPods, and we'll meet you there. Chapter 9, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Now, as we head to the atrium, there's an astrolabe, a remarkable piece by Franz Dingemans and Le Bigre and Roger. It's not only immense, but truly amazing, as it's a working astrolabe. Think of a clock, but one to show the movement of the stars and the heavens, as well as the time. And while you might think a piece of art as large as this centerpiece weighs a great deal, it doesn't, thanks to an amazing material perfected by Gilbert Le Bigre and his wife Corinne Roger. They created this in their work for the ships. It's called Echo Deco and is an amazing material that they use to make objects look like anything from, well, stone to metal. In fact, their art is found on all Holland America ships. We asked Gilbert how they came to develop the material.
We have been working on some kind of chemistry, alchemistry kitchen to find the way to make an alternative to the plastic and to have something which is ecologic, non-toxic, and in the same time that can fit for a shipbuilding, which means elasticity, which means quality for painting, for decorating. And that's how we came up with the Eco Deco.
Well, whatever the material it's made from, the effect is stunning. Look at the signs of the zodiac above and the internal workings of the clock below. It's an intricate mechanism that is truly a working piece of art. Do you know the bells actually play?
And you know that the more you look at this centerpiece, the more you'll see. But right off the atrium on the starboard side is the ocean bar. And inside, in addition to some fine pictures from the 18th century, there's a very detailed ship model of a Dutch working boat. It was built for shallow water and sailing in and around Holland. And you can see that in the boards that can be raised and lowered on the sides and also the very shallow draft of the hull.
Now, before you head for the forward elevator lobby, take a moment to cross the atrium to the port side and look at the leaping glass dolphins. Now, this is a gift to the ship from the builders in Italy, and it's an extremely valuable glass work by the legendary artist Archimedes Seguso. Seguso is one of the artists responsible for the Renaissance of Murano glass in Venice, and you can see his expertise in these leaping dolphins. The gold dust is placed in the glass at various layers, and then the whole is heated and fused.
And remember when we watched him make some small pieces when we visited his studio? Even with two assistants, it was very exacting work. It takes great skill as a craftsman to get the gold dust to spread so uniformly while you're blowing the glass to the desired shape. In a way, it reminds me of Susanna Holt's dolphin sculptures on other Holland America ships. But of course, they're in bronze rather than glass.
Now, head for the forward staircase, upper promenade deck, deck 5. We'll take the elevators or the stairs to deck 9, sports deck. There, we'll find the crow's nest and our next chapter. Chapter 10, Crow's Nest, Deck 9, Sports Deck.
And just coming out of the elevators, well, we'll see some interesting artwork taken from an earlier Amsterdam, which sailed from 1938 to 1975. It's called The Four Seasons and was made for the ship in 1938 by the Brom family, a famous jewelry designer in Holland at the time. This particular piece was purchased from a collector of maritime art, and the figures represent the four seasons. The setting is actually a recreation in Eco Deco of the original way they were displayed on the original Amsterdam. And here in the Crow's Nest lobby, you'll also be able to see two glass torches. They're on either side of the lobby. Now, while they are modern, Dingemans had them cut and blown in an Art Deco style that complements the four season sculptures. Let's head into the Crow's Nest on the starboard side or the right side. There's some very interesting pieces of art to see in there.
Now, once again, look up. You don't want to miss the yacht-like curved ceiling. And below, well, there's yet another inlaid marble and wood floor.
Now, the small birdcage under the picture on the wall to your right is easy to miss, but it's a masterpiece of German 19th century craftsmanship.
And above it, there's another dramatic still life, which could easily be overshadowed by its Baroque frame. The painting is from the 17th century, and it really captures the style of painting that was wildly popular at the time. In fact, Dutch still lifes are still very popular among art collectors.
In the center, in the forward part of the Crow's Nest, is a binnacle. Now, for those of you who aren't nautically inclined, well, a binnacle is basically a dry compass in an antique wood and brass frame, and this one is from 19th century Great Britain.
And are those candles illuminating it? Wow, it's amazing how they did things back then.
And you see those red-green balls bookending either side? Well, those are iron weights, and they were used to adjust it to the magnetic field and keep the compass aligned with true north.
Well, I guess those days are gone forever with GPS systems. But you know, we've talked with captains who still train their junior officers in the traditional ways of navigation, although they have the latest technology. It's all about, well, seafaring tradition.
Yes, but imagine the simplicity of navigation back then. The call of the sea, the smell of the ocean breeze, the epic battle of man against nature.
Paul, This is an art tour, not a poem by Masefield.
Oh, all right. Well, I was just getting out the star to steer her by, you know, and things like that. Great maritime phrases. Let's go on to the port side of the Crow's Nest and see two very interesting ship models. One entitled Steam Corvette Alexander from France in the 19th century. Notice something interesting? It has only four guns, and the hull is shaped like a battering ram. Can you imagine it? Instead of pounding each other with iron, ships back then actually rammed each other. And remember what we learned a little while ago about the history of ships being shown in the models.
And on the back wall of the port side of the Crow's Nest, there's a remarkable model of the Navajo, a sailing yacht from the 19th century. Interesting how they mounted it on glass, so it actually looks like it's floating in water. The detail is really something.
Now, as you walk out of the Crow's Nest on the port side, take a few moments to look at the detail of an artwork on the wall. It's called A Bird's Eye View of the Great Suspension Bridge, and it depicts the opening of the Brooklyn Bridge in New York on May 24, 1883. The artists have added some historical images and probably some that are there only for artistic effect. We'll let you decide that.
Now, take either the stairs or the elevator to Deck 8, Lido Deck, and we'll meet you there in the forward stairway. Meanwhile, you might want to place your iPods on pause until you get there. Chapter 11, Deck 8, Lido Deck. Let's begin here on the Lido Deck, Deck 8, and get another look at the original Four Seasons from the Amsterdam of 1938.
Right now, we're going to head outside to the Lido Pool.
Here at the Lido Pool is a remarkably realistic bronze sculpture by Susanna Holt. The sculpture is of an Alaskan brown bear, mother and cub. They look like they're fishing at the edge of the pool. Holt is one of the world's leading sculptors of animals, and she's done work for all the Holland America ships. Whenever possible, she studies her subjects in the wild. For this sculpture of the bears, she spent time at Brooks Camp in Alaska, watching the bears at the river. At one point, she said the bears came within about 15 feet of her. She told us she would never forget the eyes on that bear.
I wonder.
I don't think I would ever forget it either.
What I find interesting is how she does her work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas. And then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire support. And that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow, a master, then I make a quarter life size. And every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stance. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size sections. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part, there is a very complex pattern of steel supports that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds themselves take approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same.
After contemplating the bears, continue toward the aft part of the ship. You'll be walking along the starboard side of the Lido Pool, and you'll come to the Lido Bar. And there's a special surprise here. Holt did a bronze sculpture of another bear cub. This one is playing while its brother learns to fish with mom. Chapter 12, Deck 8, Lido Deck, Midships. Now, as we enter the Lido Cafe and head aft, there are some reproductions of tile panels on the wall. Don't miss them. They really capture the feeling and detail of panels from 200 years ago.
And at the midship stairway decade, just as you enter the Lido Cafe, is a Giuseppe Leonardi still life, a striking piece, a basket of lemons in a circular format. Everything about this work rivets the eye and draws it to the color and form of that lemon.
The boldness of color and shadow. Who would have thought that fruit could be so dramatic? Well, this is part of the reason that art can be such a major part of the experience aboard the Amsterdam during your cruise. We asked Willem Kreisberg, a Holland America Line hotel manager, just what art brings to the cruise experience.
It's lovely. I love art, I love antiques, and I love anything to do with art. It always had my fascination and would have been my secondary choice for my career if I had not become a hotel manager on board of a cruise ship. It varies. They all find it fascinating. You know, that is a given. But, you know, some directions are towards the pictures we have hanging in the corridors of the history of Holland America, and others are really excited about the clock tower we have, the Astrolabium, and also the special pieces we have, the Chinese statues in the midship staircase and next to the Marbella shop are prime examples of wonderful Ming-style art. And they're original, so it represents a tremendous value, and it gives also the ship a cachet that is extraordinary. Here it's almost, you can almost touch it, and it also is displayed in a very nice way. Yeah, we have those wonderful Four Seasons, sculptures made for the old or the former New Amsterdam, and the ship was built in the mid 30s and sailed for a long time for Holland America, and also was used as a troop ship. But those Four Seasons, the sculptures are hammered sheet gilded bronze, and the workmanship and the time period that was created really represented those ships of that time galore. You meet new people on this ship, 1300 almost each cruise. People with different tastes, with different feelings, but all out to have a good time.
Now we're going to head back to the forward stairway and what we call the Stephen Card Vertical Art Gallery for our next chapter. Why not place your iPods on pause until we get there?
Chapter 13, Deck 8, Lido Deck, Forward Staircase.
In the forward staircase, on each landing, you'll notice a large marine painting. They're oils and painted by one of the world's leading marine painters, Captain Stephen J. Card.
Now, it helps to know that each painting is of some historical ship in the Holland America line. Three previous Holland America ships carried the Amsterdam name. Each painting is meticulously detailed and accurate for its time.
Fritz Lumeyer sees social history as well in these paintings.
And now you see the historical paintings of Stephen Card. Beautifully done, precisely picturing the historical ships of the Holland America line, looking back to the history of the company, and in the post-war period, when Europe had to be built up again, people were not looking back, they were looking forward. That's the difference between the 1950s and the era we are living in now, but in both cases, it says a lot about how we are and what our perspective is.
Lumeyer told me that one of the great things about collecting maritime art is that it really gives you a perspective on history in so very many ways.
And speaking of historical perspective, people do ask how Holland America ships are named. Well, Amsterdam and many cities in Holland are named with dam because they're built near or next to water and are protected by a dam or dike. In Holland America Line, the passenger ships ended in dam, like Rotterdam, and the cargo ships ended in dike,
Well, except that Holland America no longer has cargo ships.
Well, no, that was in the old days.
Well, back to the paintings by Captain Card. You know, he told us that each painting he does is like visiting an old friend. He grew up in the 60s in Bermuda, and he saw all the classic Holland America Line ships as they called there.
For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. Now, do you ever wonder how an artist gets started?
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984, and I worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say, and I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
And being in Bermuda is what got Card his start as a marine painter. He grew up with a love of the sea and was a navigator, sea captain, and harbor master in earlier careers. Then, one day in 1984, when Card was home in Bermuda, he received a call from Nico van der Vorm, who was then chairman of Holland America Line. Van der Vorm had seen a painting Card had done of a ship and asked him if he'd be interested in painting pictures of the 1980s era Noordam and New Amsterdam. Stephen Card soon learned that his maritime background really helped his new endeavor. "I have a knowledge of the sea and of how ships operate," he told us, "and that enables me to create accurate paintings of the ships." His paintings hang in the collections of several museums and on all the Holland America Line ships. They're also featured in his book, Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet.
Now, if you'd rather not walk the stairs, just put your iPod on pause, and we'll begin again at Deck 3 in the atrium. However, if you'd like to see this maritime art collection, let's walk down the stairs. The first painting, between Deck 8 and 7, is of the Amsterdam as she looked in 1887. She could make over 12 knots at the time, a very respectable speed.
Now let's digress just a moment to look at an interesting piece of art on Deck 7. It's right in the elevator lobby forward. You can see a ship model of an Italian Navy training ship. Now this was donated by the shipyard workers who worked on the Amsterdam. It's called the Amerigo Vespucci, and it's named for the Italian explorer who many believe was the one who discovered America. The ship model is set in front of a chart of Dutch sailing waters.
Now, back to the Card staircase, and we'll head down again. Between Deck 7 and 6 is the New Amsterdam II as she looked in 1938, moored along another Holland America ship, the MS Maasdam. She's shown tied up at the Ocean Terminal in Southampton, England, a great Art Deco structure that, sadly, is no more.
And down one deck, between Decks 6 and 5, is the New Amsterdam III in the Caribbean. And then, continuing down between Deck 4 and 5, there's the Amsterdam 1, part sail, part steam, steaming into Rotterdam, perhaps on the Maas or Rhine rivers. See the steam tug and paddle-wheeled boats, and also notice the windmills in the background.
And rounding out the collection, between Decks 4 and 3, is the New Amsterdam 1, shown in 1906 as she steams into New York Harbor following an epic transatlantic crossing. Notice the New York ferry, the Brooklyn Bridge, the skyline. All accurate for the time.
And finally, the current Amsterdam 3 is between Deck 3 and 2. She's sailing through the Straits of Gibraltar.
For our next chapter, we're going to take another view of the astrolabe that was made by Le Bigre and Roger. So pause your iPods here and head back up to Deck 3, the lower promenade deck, and to the atrium for our next chapter. Chapter 14, Deck 3, Lower Promenade Deck, Atrium.
From this level, looking up, you get a sense of just how large this astrolabe piece really is. And look up to the ceiling of the atrium. See the sparkling ceiling and the signs of the zodiac in the heavens? From here, you can also take a close-up look at the interior mechanism and the bells. Now look over to the wall and the display case there. There's this intricate chest with incredible craftsmanship. It's called an Italian bamboche cabinet, and it's made of walnut wood in the Liguri style from the 17th century. The detailed carving makes it really remarkable and valuable. Wouldn't you just love to have that in our hallway?
I think it's a bit large for our house. Well, we're now going to head back up to Deck 4, Promenade Deck, Forward Stairway. But before you take the elevator or the stairs, take note of these beautiful elevator doors.
Although the doors are real and working, the facades on them are actually photos of inlaid wood. It's sort of a trompe-l'oeil effect. Well, that's only my opinion, of course. I think it's clever.
Now, put your iPods again on pause, and we'll meet you on Deck 4, the promenade deck, at the forward stairway for our next chapter. Chapter 15, Deck 4, Promenade Deck, Forward Stairway.
Now let's walk aft through the atrium and past the Wayang Theater and the Culinary Arts Center to the Pinnacle Grill. You really should dine here sometime during your cruise, but the reason we brought you here are to look at the remarkable paintings of Bas Sibas. At first, they look like interesting scenes of a beautiful countryside, but look closer and you'll see many surrealistic overtones.
Think of the mind of an artist that comes up with the idea of combining classical architecture, modern corporate logos, and, well, someone who looks like Marilyn Monroe in works of art.
And winged victory with paper and pen. All these pieces are allusions to art and writing amidst remarkable settings.
Oh, and look at this one of an artist creating logos. That one is by far the most intellectual of the collection here in the grill.
Now, when you're ready, let's head outside the grill where we have these large Baroque musicians. They're white painted and carved wood from 1720. Most likely, they came from a larger group of musicians, maybe in a church. They would have been very impressive when you see the whole of them together. Of course, their instruments are long gone.
Now, just aft of these is a collection of photographs of people like Sarah Bernhardt and the Marx Brothers with Margaret Dumont. You know, she was in almost all the Marx Brothers movies. She always played some sort of a befuddled matron.
By now, we're at the midships elevators of the promenade deck, Deck 4, and as we near the end of our tour of the art aboard the Amsterdam, well, let's take the elevator.
Or the stairs, for you fitness types.
Yes, or the stairs. And let's go back to the Explorations Café, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Coming out of the midships elevator, or at the top of the stairs, between the elevators in the lobby, on Deck 5, check out the two Ming Dynasty 17th century mounted horsemen. They're in the display case on the wall. They're sort of tucked away, but they have a wonderful color and a kind of character that, well, seems kind of friendly.
Probably because they're on horseback. We hope you've enjoyed your time here enjoying the art on the Amsterdam, but it's time to turn in your borrowed iPod in the Explorations Café.
But this doesn't have to be the end of your art experience on board Amsterdam. We've tried to give you a sense of how extensive the collection aboard the ship is and how much fun it can be to explore it.
Well, sadly, we have come to the end of the art tour, but your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Amsterdam. You're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
Holland America Captain John Scott finds that exploring the art is something many people really enjoy during their cruise.
We have fantastic artwork on our ships, and the regular guests notice it, or people who have cruised with another cruise line and then perhaps come to us and having cruised a couple of times somewhere else and say to us, wow, you've got a phenomenal amount of artwork, beautiful artwork. If people come to us first of all, they will just say, well, that's just normal artwork on a cruise ship. And then they will go perhaps on another cruise line and then come back to us later and say, you really have got some superb artwork and a lot of it. Because we do have superb artwork and a huge amount of it on board each ship.
Now, we do have some homework for you. Don't worry, it'll be fun and easy.
If you want to explore on your own, well, here are some things to look for. A black iron model of a steam plow engine. A working model at that. A shadow box fantasy with a giant violin among tiny furniture. I can only imagine what the artist was thinking when he made that. And finally, a bronze of a girl braiding her hair. And, oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lassley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.